Wow. Is anybody ready for the word? Is anybody ready for the word? Come on, man. All right, Jesus, we thank you tonight for your word. God, we thank you so much, God, that you have something to speak to us. God, tonight that we believe that you have something to say to our hearts and that you desire to change our lives, God. So we love you, Lord. We bless you. And in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. So last week, we started a new series called I Need a New Prescription. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say new. Somebody say new. All right, so we said, man, that there are so many Christians living with a bad prescription, or you could say view of themselves. By prescription, I mean like a glasses prescription. How many of you guys have ever worn a bad prescription in your glasses before? Right? If you haven't, trust me, you don't want to. It hurts your eyes. You get headaches. It impairs your vision. Well, there are so many people living with an impaired vision of themselves. They're living with the wrong view of themselves. Is that I have found that there are many people who don't love themselves. And so our key scripture from last week was Mark chapter 12, verse 28. How many of you guys brought your Bibles with you? Brought your Bibles with you. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, you need to bring your Bible, and I encourage you to bring something to take notes on, because you only remember a whopping 7% of what you hear. Isn't that encouraging? That's totally not encouraging to me. All right. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 29, it says this. It says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Verse 29, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Pretty important thing. Next part of the verse, thank you. And it says, and you must, somebody say must. Somebody say must. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Verse 31, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody say yourself. Somebody say yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So here Jesus in this verse, he tells us the top two commandments. He says, listen, there's a lot in the Bible, right? Like I look at my Bible and I think of everything that's written in here and obeying everything. And I get kind of intimidated at times. How about you? How about you? Yeah, you're like, man, am I doing this all? Well, Jesus says, listen, if you do two things, then you're going to do it all. If you do two things, you're going to fulfill every commandment that's in this book. The first thing is this. Number one was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And number two was this. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. Hear me tonight. To love your neighbor as yourself. And so last week we said that, man, guess what? If I don't love myself, then I can't love others. Hear me tonight. If I don't love myself, then I can't love others. And the Bible says in the book of 1 John that if I don't love others, then I don't really love God. So in order to fulfill the greatest commandments in the Bible, guess what? I have to love myself. Is that I need to get a new prescription. I need to get a right view of me. And listen, tonight I'm not talking about an arrogant, prideful love where you think you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread and everybody else is beneath you. That's not what I'm talking about. Tonight what I'm saying is I'm saying that you like and you enjoy yourself. Why? Because God does. That you like and enjoy yourself. Why? Because God does. Is anybody hearing me tonight? So the word love, it means this. It means to take pleasure in a thing or to have preference for. To take pleasure in a thing or have preference for is that God wants me to like and enjoy myself. And so last week, man, the big main point of last week was that a false view of me, right, a bad prescription of me was rooted in or is rooted in a false view of who God really is. Is that if I don't have the right view of God, then I won't have the right view of me. Amen. So last week, man, I believe that God wanted to give us a new prescription of how we see him. And this week, I believe that God wants to give us a new prescription of how we see ourselves. Of how we see ourselves. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I need a new prescription. So my question for you tonight, starting off, is that all that was recap, and now we're going to really dive in to the meat of the message tonight, is what do you see when you look in the mirror? Come on, what do you see when you look in the mirror? And tonight, I'm asking what you really believe in your heart, because that's really what you see. See, do you see a miracle, or do you see a mistake? Do you see someone who is valuable, or do you see someone who isn't really wanted? Do you see someone who is accepted, or do you see someone who's been rejected? That rhymed. I'm good. Come on, do you see someone who is smart and full of wisdom, or do you see someone who is dumb and stupid? Do you see someone who is loved, or someone who is unlovable? Do you see a unique creation that God made to be different than anybody else? Or do you see someone who's just trying to fit in? Come on, who do you see when you look in the mirror? How many of you guys know that how we see ourselves is powerful? Right? How we see ourselves is powerful. And so this morning, or not this morning, tonight, I don't know why I said this morning, but tonight I'm going to share with you guys a little bit of my own personal testimony growing up, because it has a lot to do with this subject of how you see yourself, is that every summer, not every summer, but most summers, growing up, is that me and my sister would go and visit my grandma that lived in Washington State. Now, my grandma could make some mean mac and cheese. Come on, somebody. She could throw down on some fried chicken, baby. I mean, my grandma could cook. Right? She could cook. Like, we always look forward to the food when we went there. But my grandma had like one little hiccup. I mean, she lived in a really nice house. She drove really nice cars. I mean, like, at one point she was like a millionaire. I mean, like, my grandma, or close to it, she was rolling. But my grandma had this one little hiccup, is that she was an alcoholic. She would hide her vodka, her Grey Goose, and like water bottles. And so we wouldn't really know it. And there's this one time where she was visiting us down here that I took her water bottle and I started dumping it down the drain, because, like, man, it's just water. And she lost it on me, right? I was dumping her booze down the drain. I didn't even know it. But see, when my grandma would get drunk, and she would get drunk quite often, is that she would get verbally abusive to anybody who was around her. And since me and my sister were there, is we got verbally abused. Is that, I mean, I remember being called dumb, being called stupid, being told you're not good enough, being told, man, is that you're not good enough to be part of this family. You'll probably never amount to anything. And, you know, some of you guys might know this. I'm sure all of you guys do by now. Is that I have a little bit of a stutter. But when I was younger, it was really, 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 really bad. And so I would go and try to explain something to my grandma, and my stutter would frustrate her, and she would begin to yell at me and telling me to stop stuttering. Why are you stuttering? Just stop it. Just stop stuttering already. That really boosts up your confidence, right? So I remember hearing all this stuff, man, is that during Christmas time, she would send my sister like this plethora of gifts. And she would send me just like one or two gifts so that I would purposely have to watch my sister open more gifts than me. Somebody say messed up. Say messed up. You see, but over time, is that the words like dumb and stupid, not good enough, worthless. I mean, so over time, to be honest with you guys, is that these stopped being just words, and this started being things, man, that I started to wear, is that the phrase, I'm stupid, is that it became part of my identity, is that that phrase, is that, man, is that I'm never going to amount to anything. Got to figure out where this goes. Somewhere up here. Jesus, help me. This was a bad idea. Anyways, it's right here. Maybe we'll figure it out in a second. Man, phrases like, I'm a mistake. Oh, yeah, this is a big one for me. Is that I'm a mistake.
And I began to wear this phrase. And it became part of my identity, man. Phrases like, what else is here? Oh, yeah, come on, somebody. Is that I'm worthless. Oh, that was a big one. Is that I'm rejected. That was another really big one. And then I began to wear these things, and that they became part of my identity. Is that these were the words, is that when I looked in the mirror, this is what I saw. Is that I saw a reject, I saw a mistake, I saw a kid who couldn't talk right. I saw a kid who was stupid. And I began to wear these things, and these words affected me so much, man, that I remember so vividly, like it was yesterday. At the age of around, I'm going to say 10 years old. I don't remember the exact age, but I know I was really young. Is that I just remember the enemy whispering these words in my ear. You're a mistake. Why are you alive? You're not good enough to be part of your family. Come on, you're rejected. You're stupid. I remember just hearing these lies. Over and over and over again. And at the age of 10 years old, I thought to myself, you know what? If this is who I am, then why am I alive? And so I went to the kitchen drawer and I grabbed a knife and I went in my closet and I was 100% ready to slit my throat at the age of 10 years old. And I remember, man, when I was holding up the knife and the enemy was just telling me lies about myself. And then all of a sudden, through every single lie, I don't know if it was an audible voice. I kind of think it was. Amen. But I heard the voice of God. God said, stop, for I have great plans for your life. And I dropped the knife and I left the closet and I went and I probably played video games because that's what you do when you're a kid, right? And so my question for you tonight, see, because the wrong view of you, the false prescription, is that all those are, is that they're just lies of the enemy. And you begin to wear those lies when you start to believe them. Come on, when you start to believe them, and when you believe them, you put them on, and then that's how you function. Come on, what lies are you believing about yourself tonight? And I'm busting out my phone here to see the order that these go in on my shirt. Because they go in a specific order and I don't want to mess it up. See, do you believe the lie that, man, is that I'm never going to amount to anything? Found it. What about the lie that, man, I have to live in depression? Or, man, that I have to live in my junk, is that there's no freedom for me. Is that, man, I'm never going to get free? Is that, man, is that this is the way I'm always going to be? Is that this is how my mom is? This is how my dad is? This is how my grandma is? And so this is how I'm just going to be. Man, it's just who I am. See, what about the lie that says, is that, man, is that I am unforgiven? See, that some of you guys don't believe that you're forgiven. Listen, we all have a past, we all have junk, but some of you guys, when you look in the mirror, all you see is your mistakes. Come on, all you see is where you went wrong and you screwed up. See, you look in the mirror, some of you guys who have sexually messed up, and all you see is somebody who's impure. And so you empower that lie and you put that as part of your identity. See, some of you guys see the wonderful phrase, I'm ugly. You look in the mirror and you see somebody who's ugly. You say, man, I wish I looked like them. Man, I wish I looked like her. Man, I wish I was as strong as that guy is. And so you begin to wear it as part of your identity. See, other lies, I already have it here. I'm stupid. Is that, man, is that I'm unlovable, is that I'm all alone. No one's here for me. I don't even know, is this where this one goes? This is crazy, y'all. This one goes at the bottom. So I'm weird. Is that, man, there's something wrong with me. These are not going in the right place, so just hang on with me, guys. Okay, last one is, man, I can't. Oh, here's the big one. Is that, man, I can't do anything right. Is that, man, I just can't. I always mess up. I always mess up. And so, man, I just can't, man. Is that I'm never going to amount to anything. And so you wear this lie. You see, but in that moment, when God spoke to me, man, when I was in the closet and I had that knife and I was ready to end my life, I don't know if I was going to do it or not, to be honest with you guys, but I know, man, that I was certainly thinking about it. And God spoke to me and he said, stop, for I have great plans for you. In that moment, I learned a lesson, is that there's only one way to get rid of a lie that you believe about yourself, is that you have to replace the lie with truth. Come on, hear me tonight, is that there's only one way to get rid of lies, is that you have to replace the lie with the truth. Are you hearing me tonight? Come on, are you hearing me? So tonight, man, I believe that God wants to replace some lies. Is that okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? Come on, a quiet church, is it? And so tonight, man, I believe that the first lie that God wants to replace is a lie that says, is that, man, I am rejected and I am unwanted. That I am rejected and I am unwanted. Maybe you've been rejected by friends. Maybe you've been rejected by a parent. But tonight, God is wanting to take off this lie that says I'm rejected. And he's wanting to replace it with a truth that says, man, I'm chosen. Hear me, man, I'm chosen. Guess what, man? And not only am I chosen, but man, I am accepted. And not only am I accepted, but man, I am wanted. That's upside down. This is hard, y'all. Give me a break. All right, is that I am unwanted. See, tonight, if you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 15, verse 16. This is so good. It says, you didn't choose me. This is Jesus speaking. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Is that I appointed you. Somebody say, I chose you. Now, the reason why this is so powerful is because the word chose, it means to pick out, to choose one out of many, and to choose out for oneself. Hear this tonight. To pick out, to choose one out of many, to choose out for oneself. See, realize tonight that God picked you. That God picked you. Is that how many guys ever played like a sport after school, right? Where like you guys broke up into teams, right? There was this team and that team, and everybody had to stand in line, right? And then you have the team captains, right? And they pick the first person, then the second person, and the third person, and the fourth person. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Well, guess what? God didn't pick you last. He didn't pick you fourth. He didn't pick you third. Man, God didn't even pick you second. God said that you are my number one pick. That you are my number one pick. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I am. Come on, say, I am God's number one pick. What did God pick you for? What did God pick you for? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. I have the answer for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Get ready for a lot of Bible tonight, guys. It says, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Now, I love this verse because this tells me that, man, the whole story of the Bible, Genesis through Revelations, that it is one giant, intense episode of House Hunters. How many of you guys know what a House Hunters is? If you don't know it, I promise you, your mom probably watches it on HGTV. All right, for some reason, women love this show, and it's actually a pretty cool show. But what happens on this show, right, is this couple is ready to go buy a new house. So they go, and they have this real estate agent take them around to this house, man, that's going to be the perfect house to fit all of their needs. And I love watching like the really expensive ones where the houses are like $3-4 million because you're like, man, I wish I could live there, right? Thing falling off of me, no, right? But I love this because, you see, when I read the Bible, man, I find out that God is looking for the perfect house to live in. Right, that God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, man, that he's looking for the perfect house, right? And so the first house that God moves into is something called the Tabernacle of Meeting. How many of you guys have ever heard of a guy named Moses before? Right, Moses, right? Well, God temporarily moves in basically into the tent that he had Moses build for him. And then next, God says, you know what? This tent isn't doing it for me any longer. I'm going to have to move. And so God moves into the tabernacle that David and Solomon built. Right? Right? And then next, God says, all right, it's time for me to make my final move. Right, for me to move into the place that I have been waiting for ever since the beginning of time to move into. So he sends Jesus to earth, right? And Jesus takes on the sins of the world. And Jesus dies and he's raised from the dead, right? Right? And we all know, man, that if we believe in Jesus, right, man, that we are made new creatures in Christ Jesus, right? 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 Thank you. All right. And so because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that God makes his home in us. Hear me tonight. God makes his home in us. God picks you to be his home. God picks you. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is that God could have made his home anywhere. Anywhere. And he says, man, I want to live on the inside of Hunter. He said, man, I've been waiting since the beginning of time, man, to live on the inside of Hunter, man, to walk with him and to be his God and for Hunter to be mine. Is that God has chosen you to be his home. That's awesome. You know, imagine this, all right? Best way I know how to explain this. Imagine if the president comes and says, man, I'm going to visit Fayetteville, North Carolina, right? Is that, man, I'm coming to Fort Bragg. But instead of saying I'm at Embassy Suites Hotel or the Ritz or the Carlton, Ruby, I'm coming and staying at your house. He says, Ruby, I'm staying at your house. Eric, bro, I'm coming and staying at your house, man. Is that President Trump's like, I'm going to whoop you in some basketball. You don't know the skills this white brother has, okay? Like, imagine. All right, this is just like that. It's even more intense than that. God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to make my home in you. Right? Right? And last verse I'll read here is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9. It says, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant, for I have chosen you, and I will not throw you away. Listen, this is a promise of God. He's saying, I'm never going to throw you away. Is that I'm never going to be done with you? Is that I'm never going to reject you? Is that I'm never going to cast you off to the side like you're unimportant? Is that you will always be my number one pick. You will always be my number one pick. Now, the second lie tonight that we're going to cover, man, that God wants to remove is the lie that says, is that, man, is that I'm done. Is that tonight God wants to replace the lie that says, man, I'm dumb or I'm stupid with the truth that says, man, I'm smart. Come on, man, I'm smart. Man, some of y'all need this. Man, I'm smart. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says. It says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows even enough to teach him? How many of you guys think God's a pretty smart guy? That God's a pretty smart guy. All right, but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Come on, hear me. For we have the mind of Christ. Listen, the best way I know how to explain this story, right? I'm not really a museum guy or like, you know, like a zoo guy or whatever, but when my parents lived in Maryland, I remember is that I went to go visit them, and they were like, you got to check out this super cool aquarium. It's awesome. And I was like, oh, cool fish, whatever, you know. And so we go in there, right, and I walk in this aquarium, and we're looking at stuff, and all of a sudden, like, I start geeking out. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Do you see that fish? Oh, my God, this is amazing. I start like geeking out, right? But seriously, I'm sitting there and I'm in like awe of the creativity of God, right? I'm like looking at all the different colors, all the different types of fish. And I'm like, man, God, like how smart do you have to be to create all of this? Right? Like God didn't steal any ideas from anywhere. Like he was the like original idea maker for all this stuff, right? And so I'm just sitting there, I'm talking to God, and I'm like, God, you're like super smart, God. You're so creative. Man, God, like, I mean, you said that you created all creation. And then God spoke this to me. He said, the same mind that made all of this lives in you. Come on, the same mind that made all of this, it lives in you. Listen, some of you guys struggle with math. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness, right? Amen. Amen. Well, I have news for you tonight. The same mind that made math lives in you. Some of you guys struggle with science. Jesus, help us tonight, right? Well, the same mind that made science lives in you. Some of you guys struggle with history. Guess what? The same mind that watched all of history take place, it lives in you. Listen, realize tonight that your potential is the Holy Spirit. That your potential is the Holy Spirit. Man, listen, I'll never forget it. Man, like I used to struggle with my grades really bad. Like really, really, really bad. And like my sister would bring home A's and stuff like that. I was like, Mom, I brought home a C, right? And the whole house rejoiced, right? And like a C, thank God. You know what I'm saying? And then I remember is that I was talking to Pastor Al one day. And I was like, yeah, you know, I struggle with my grades. I'm not the smartest, you know, I'm kind of dumb or whatever. And Pastor Al was like, what the hell? Calm down, you're not dumb. He said, son, you're not dumb. It's that the Holy Spirit is your potential. The Holy Spirit is your potential. Did you know after that conversation, I started making AB honor roll? Yeah. What? So listen, tonight realize that your potential is the Holy Spirit. Listen, if I can do it, you can do it, okay? If I can do it, you can do it. So tonight, the last lie that I want to debunk, man, that I want to uncover, and this is my favorite one, is I believe that God wants to replace the lie that says, man, that you're a mistake, is that you'll never amount to anything, is that you can't do anything right, man. Even the lie that says I'm ugly, is that God wants to replace all of those lies with the truth that says I am a masterpiece. So he wants to rip off the lie that says I'm a mistake. He wants to rip off the lie that says I'll never amount to anything. And he wants to rip off the lie that says, man, I'm ugly. I wish I looked like her. We're just going to take this one off because it's annoying me tonight. Is that God wants to replace those lies with this amazing, amazing truth that says, I am a masterpiece. I'm a masterpiece. Thank you. Thank you so much. I know I'm really good at taking off these and putting them on. If you need lessons, I'll show you later. But if you have your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, I love this, guys. It says this, for we are his workmanship. Now, the word workmanship, it means a product. The word workmanship there, the definition, boom, bam, bam, boom. Here we go. It's coming up. There it is. The word workmanship, it means a product designed by an artisan. Now, how many of you guys know what an artisan is? Probably not a lot of y'all, which is why I'm here to explain it to you. So an artisan is someone who is very skilled, listen to me, in making particular items by hand. Is that, I mean, like I'm not talking about an assembly line or some mass production process, is that the designer takes what he is making very seriously, is that this item is made by hand, which means that every piece of work they do matters. Every single thing that they do matters, is that every design, it takes time, it takes effort, and most important of all, every ounce of their attention to detail. Is that every piece is important and every piece is unique. Every piece is important and every piece is unique. Now, what I love is that the word workmanship here is that it actually means masterpiece too. It actually means masterpiece. Now, right? And so I want to explain this tonight is that there's a difference between somebody's just their work than like their masterpiece, right? Like they have something that they work on, but man, their masterpiece, like this is like the overall, like the one thing that they're proud of, right? I mean, like Da Vinci has the Mona Lisa, you know what I'm saying? That other artist made the statue of David, right? This is their masterpiece. Like this is the thing, they're like, I'm gonna be remembered throughout history for this one thing, right? So when we look at creation, right? And in fact, can we show the pictures up here of creation? Right, we look at stuff like this. This is a real picture taken. This is called the Pillars of Creation. It's pretty beautiful. It's pretty impressive of space. Next picture. Up here. How many of you guys would love to go to that destination, right? Can somebody say vacation?
Vacation.
All right, next picture. Wow. Gorgeous, right? Gorgeous. Next picture. This is a real picture. It's called the Eye of God. It's in space. Now listen, focus. Bring it in. Is that we're almost done. I promise you I'm about to shut up. Is that we look at all this stuff and we go, that's amazing. But none of this is God's masterpiece. Hear me tonight. None of this is his masterpiece. None of that was God's prize creation. See, on the first day, right, we read, like, God, right, God made, I can't even remember, right, night and day. The second day, God made other stuff, right? And day two, day three, day four, day five, God made all this amazing stuff that we, amazing over. But then on the sixth day, God was like, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to make my masterpiece. I'm ready to make my masterpiece. And so, in Genesis 2, verse 7, right? It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Hey, Mackenzie, you can come and play for me now. That'd be awesome as we wrap up. The word formed, there, it means to fashion as a potter. And the word dust, it means clay. Now, I don't know if you guys know a lot about pottery, but you know that they put this blob of clay on this like spinny wheel thing and they press it with their foot, right? And then the artist, he takes his hand, right? And as it's spinning, he's forming the pot, right? And every movement of his hand is intentional. It's on purpose because if he messes up his hand, then all of a sudden the pot could go awry. And I love this verse because it says that we were the dust and God was the potter. See, tonight you have to realize is that you are handmade by God. Come on, you are handmade by God. Listen, God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make ugly things. God doesn't make people who can't do anything right. That's not who you are. He said, you are the masterpiece. This masterpiece is falling off. There it goes. He said, you're the masterpiece. You're awesome. Come on. He said, Satan's trying to bring him down. He said, I'm a masterpiece. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, I am a masterpiece. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, as we close, is that, man, my question for you tonight is that what lie are you believing? Come on, what lie is it? Is it the lie that says I'm ugly? Is it the lie that says I'm unforgiven, that I'm stupid, man, that I have to live in oppression, that I have to live in this sin? Is it the lie that says I'll never amount to anything? Is it the lie that says I'm a mistake, or that, man, I'm rejected, or that I'm unloved, or that, man, I just can't? You know, is it the lie that says there's something wrong with me, or man, I'm weird, or man, I'm all alone, no one's here for me? Or is it the lie that says, man, I'm just worthless? Is that what lie are you believing? If I can have my leaders go ahead and make your way on down for me tonight. All of my adult leaders, you guys can go ahead and come on down. Come on. Tonight, what lie have you empowered? What lie in your heart, man? You're like, man, yeah, that's me, Pastor Josh. That's me. Come on, tonight, if you want God to replace that lie with the truth, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hands. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Come on, hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. Come on, to listen, your guys' life is about to change. Is that God's going to change the way that you've been moving and that you've been operating. Come on, so if everyone could just stand up for me. If everyone could just stand up for me. Come on, and tonight, if you had your hand raised, is that, man, I want you to make your way out of your seat, man, and to come and find one of these guys and to get prayer. Find one of these guys. Hey, Mike.